Hello, my name is Lily Chaudhry, and you're listening to Happiness Now, Secrets to Success from the East and West. I'm really excited today because this is our 30th episode and our one-year anniversary, and I never thought I'd be able to get this far with the podcast. And it's only been possible because of the extraordinary support that I've received. Thanks to my team members, Gossam Ali Shah, of course, whose talks are the basis of this podcast, whose work has inspired me to want to deliver this message of hope and empowerment. And Abu Bakr Zuhur, who has done a phenomenal job translating and writing for the show. Thanks to my family and friends who have supported me, and a special thanks to my sister and podcast pundit, Rabia Chaudhry. It's only because of her encouragement and help that I even thought about starting a podcast. And she believed in me, and that made all the difference. And of course, thank you to all who listen to our show. I am grateful to you for making this project possible and allowing me to present this awesome information to you over the past 1 year. It's also with a heavy heart that I want to tell you that this will be our last episode, for the near future anyway. In the next few years, I'll be pursuing other exciting ventures and passions that I have, God willing. So for now, our 30 episodes will be available on iTunes and Audioboom, and I will be posting the different episodes on Facebook from time to time as well. So if you haven't already, please do follow us on Facebook. Our page is called Happiness Now Podcast. As we begin this new year, I know many of us have resolutions, things we want to do to change in our lives, to make our lives better, more fulfilling, more meaningful. And I want today's episode to really help those of you out there who are ready and committed for a positive change in your life. For the past few years, I personally have stopped waiting for others in my life to give me happiness. This is a big mistake I made for almost, 15 years or so of my life. I'd say most of my 20s, some of my 30s. And I was kind of miserable at times because of that. And I know now that I am fully in charge of my own emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual state. Nobody else. The main point of this podcast is really to relay the message that you have the power to change your life and attain that success and happiness that you want by constant self-improvement. And this entails regular reflection or self-assessment, regular learning from experts and books, and regular and mindful improving of our thoughts and behavior. So I wanted to share this powerful truth with others with this podcast. And today, I want to present some of the most important things that I personally find as the most potent advice or tools for achieving success and happiness. The gems that I want to share with you today are by far the most life-changing tools that experts in this field of personal development teach today. So let's get right into it. Number one is dream and dream big. We need to know for certain that nothing is impossible. To dream is our God-given right. The bigger our dream, the bigger our motivation is going to be. Former President of India, Dr. Abdul Kalam, said, "You have to dream before your dreams can come true." One of my favorite talks by Gossam Ali Shah is called Bari Manzil Ka Musafir. It's an eloquent phrase in Urdu, which I probably am not saying right. But translated, it means the traveler of the great destination. It doesn't sound as good as it does in Urdu, trust me. But basically, the point of that talk is that all of us should be that traveler of the great destination. We all need to be going forward towards something great, something big, something that would not only fulfill our lives, but also the lives of others. Whether this dream is having our own business or attaining some kind of spiritual awakening, we shouldn't live with our lives filled with the mundane things like cooking, cleaning, doing menial jobs, family feuds, paying the bills, whatever. Not that they're not important part of life, they are, but they're not part of our passion. Because every one of us on this earth will always have these issues in their life, and we shouldn't make them the focal point of our life. What sets a person with purpose apart from those who lack the sense of purpose in their lives is that their focus is inward and forward instead of outward and backward. Because he has to go far. He has to achieve bigger goals. He knows what really matters. And that saves him from consuming his energy and time in things that don't really matter. What should preoccupy our minds is that bigger goal, that bigger purpose that we should be actively walking towards, no matter how small our steps. And ultimately, it's this journey towards what we're passionate about that will give us success and happiness. Reaching the destination is not important, but we should always be striving to reach something great because we were made for something great. I want to share with you the incredible story of Maggie Doyne. She was born in 1986 and she grew up in New Jersey. In 2005, following her high school graduation at 19 years old, she took a gap year to travel with an organization abroad. And she went to India. And she spent time volunteering at a children's home. And she met a refugee from Nepal and became friends with this girl. And she went with her to visit her home village. And in Nepal, Doyne met a six-year-old named Hima, who was barely surviving on a few rupees she earned by breaking stones. So Doyne decided to do something. She helped Hima go to school, paying for her tuition, her uniform, her books, and decided that she wanted to help more children just like Hima. She called her parents and asked them to send her the $5,000 that she had saved up back in New Jersey from the many years of babysitting that she had done. She would later take this money and the money of some other supporters and purchase land in the Kapila Valley. And along with another Nepali partner, in 2007, she opened up the Kapila Valley Children's Home, taking on guardianship of underprivileged children. Together with the help of caregivers, Maggie lives at the home and cares for the children even today. In 2010, she opened up the first school for 350 children in the region's most impoverished area. And in 2013, she opened the Kapila Valley Women's Center, providing literacy and skills training to the women of the area. Today, her project in Nepal now runs a school, a children's home, a women's center, and a health clinic. Doyne and her team are currently working to build a new campus that will replace the existing one down the road. She has a team of engineers, architects, developers, and experts helping her build the school. It'll reside on almost 3 acres of land, have a pre-primary school, a primary school, a secondary school through the 12th grade, post-secondary school, and a vocational training center. And it'll provide free education for 500 students. Currently, the campus has a farm and a nursery that provides food to the school and children's home. In 2015, Maggie received the CNN Hero of the Year Award. You see, Maggie wasn't afraid of dreaming big. She didn't let anything like her financials, her lack of experience, her language barrier, the foreign land, whatever, deter her from her ambitious vision. And thank God for that. She has changed the lives of thousands of people and inspired millions. Today, Maggie is just 31 years old and still dreaming big. Number 2 is knowing yourself and then living your purpose. You know, when I was about 20 years old, I was starting to make some pretty big life decisions about marriage, about my career, about where I wanted to live. And it was only my late grandmother, God bless her soul, that out of all the people in my life asked me, "What does your heart tell you?" And I remember thinking, "My heart? My heart?" Nobody ever asked me that before. And I realized more than ever just how much she loved me. But I also realized that I mattered, that what I think and how I feel matters. And it's because of her that I realized that. And I will always remember that day. See, God gives us feelings and thoughts because we were all made to be doing different things. We all have different roles to play. We can't all be doctors or lawyers or engineers. Some of the greatest poets and philosophers from the East always emphasize this in their works. Pakistan's national poet, Iqbal, said, "Delve into yourself and there you will find all the secrets of life. The Sufi teacher Bulleh Shah said, "Turn within and visit your inner world." The theologian Imam Malik said, "Man has two births, the day of his physical arrival in this world and the day he recognizes why he came into this world." The Sufi mystic Sultan Bahu said, "The elixir of life is within." And when we know ourselves, we can make the right decisions about what we want to do, where we want to go in our lives, what we want to do in our careers. The famous Indian poet Mirza Ghalib said, "The luckiest person is the one whose source of income and his interest are the same. Because work will tire us, but love doesn't. So if we love our work, we'll never tire of it." I'm going to share another extraordinary present-day story of a man named Salman Khan. He was born in the United States to immigrant parents. His father was from Bangladesh and his mom was from India. He attended public school in Louisiana, and he later attended MIT and Harvard Business School, and he ended up with a lucrative job as a financial analyst for a hedge fund. But in 2003, something changed his life forever. He was asked to tutor one of his family members in math, and he started using Yahoo's internet tool, Doodle Notepad. But when other people started asking for his help tutoring, he moved his tutorials to YouTube, and he created this account in 2006. And the popularity of these educational videos soared. In 2009, he decided to quit his job to focus all of his attention on developing a YouTube channel dedicated full-time to helping others learn. And he started the Khan Academy. And thanks to some early individual donors, he had a great start. His videos began reaching worldwide interest from both students and non-students, with more than 458 million views in just the first few years. Khan outlined his mission as to accelerate learning for students of all ages. He realized that educating others was his passion. Khan says, "I want to share our content with whoever finds it useful." He believes that supplementing traditional classroom education with the technology being developed by his academy can improve the effectiveness of teachers by freeing them from traditional lectures and giving them more time for instruction specific to individual students' needs. And the Khan Academy has impressed some pretty big shots, and the donations prove it. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has given over $9 million to the Khan Academy. Google has given over $3 million, plus other support. And there are many other organizations and foundations and a long list of individual donors, including Netflix founder Reed Hastings, who has given millions as well. Today, the Khan Academy channel on YouTube has over 3 million subscribers, over 6,500 videos, and they've been viewed over 1.2 billion times. Times Magazine named Salman Khan in its annual list of the 100 most influential people in the world. So Salman Khan took the chance, the risk, to live his purpose, and it paid off big time. Okay, number three is change your daily habits to change your future. We all know that we are here on this earth for a very limited amount of time. So time is the most valuable asset any of us has. Why not put our time and effort into the things that will get us towards our larger goals and purpose in life? Otherwise, we'll be consumed by the mundane, the menial things. I mean, I watched my own mother spend almost a decade of her life, just gossiping on the phone. I think most of her 40s were spent like this. And we all know people who shop constantly for things they don't need. We know people who watch cat videos for hours each week, for goodness sakes. Some people incessantly cook and clean. This one hits home because if I had nothing else to do in my life, I could easily spend my entire days just cooking and cleaning. It's insane. It never ends. It never gets done. And in the same way we water plants every day to make them grow, even though we can't see them grow, the little things in life that we do every day makes a difference. It determines the course of our life. It determines our future. So we have to change our daily habits and put our time into good use. And this is much easier to do when we have a purpose and a goal, because we'll make sure to put time into that. And automatically our habits will change. We won't have to work too hard on it. And it doesn't even take long to see proof. I know if I get into the habit of giving up my chips and cookies and junk food just for a few weeks and replace them with nuts and dates and fruits and vegetables, I get snatched pretty quick. My waist just shrinks right in. And that's just in a matter of a few weeks. I can imagine if I did that permanently, well, I'd be stunning. Of course, the opposite is true too. If I get in the habit of having soda or chocolate every day, well, after about a few weeks, my clothes won't fit me. So our daily habits literally mold our life. And if we can change our habits, we'll change our lives. Many of our past podcasts have great ideas on how to improve our daily habits, including these topics. Gratitude, probably one of the most single life-changing of all habits. We also had an episode on the 7 habits of highly successful people. In this episode, we discussed this incredible book that teaches us what are the habits of the most successful people who ever lived. What habits did they have in common? And in many other episodes, we discussed in detail the power of good habits like planning or forgiveness, etc. And just try, add these to your life and see the change. Abdul Kalam said, "Nobody can change their future. But if you change your habits will change your future." Okay, number 4 is feed your soul to attain true happiness. A recent Gallup poll showed that over 90% of Americans today still believe in God. Thank goodness. So we are still very much a spiritual nation. So if we can make time every day to feed our souls, I think personally, the best way to do that is seeking God, finding out who's my Lord, who's my creator. But we can also attend to our souls in many ways. It could be contemplating every day, meditating, thinking about those bigger questions in life that I think we all have done probably at some point or another. Asking ourselves, why was I born? What's my purpose for being? What happens to me after my death? Especially when stats show that 80% of us here in the U.S. do believe in an afterlife. There's this great story I want to share, and many of you might have already heard this, and it's called The King and His 4 Wives. So once upon a time, there was a king who had 4 wives. He loved the 4th wife the most. He adorned her with rich robes. He treated her to the finest of delicacies. He gave her nothing but the best. He loved his 3rd wife very much and was always showing her off to neighboring kingdoms. However, he feared that one day she'd leave him for another. He loved his 2nd wife. She was his confidant. She was always kind, considerate, and patient with him. Whenever the king faced a problem, he'd confide in her, and she'd help him get through the difficult times. Now, the king's 1st wife was a very loyal partner and had made great contributions in maintaining his wealth and kingdom. However, he didn't love his 1st wife. Although she loved him deeply, he hardly took notice of her. One day the king got sick, and he knew that his time was short. He thought of his luxurious life and wondered, "I now have 4 wives with me, but when I die, I'm going to be all alone." So he thought to ask his wives who would stay with him. He went to his 4th wife and said, "I've loved you the most. I've endowed you with the finest clothing and showered you with great care. And now that I'm dying, will you follow me and keep me company?" She replied, "No way." And she walked away without another word. Her answer cut him like a sharp knife right to his heart. The distraught king then went to his 3rd wife. "I've loved you all my life. Now that I'm dying, will you follow me and keep me company?" She replied, "No. Life is too good. When you die, I'm going to remarry." His heart sank and turned cold. He then asked his 2nd wife, "I've always turned to you for help, and you've always been there for me. When I die, will you follow me and keep me company?" She replied, I'm sorry, I can't help you this time. At the very most, I can only send you to your grave. And her answer came to him like a bolt of lightning. And the king was devastated. Then a voice called out, I'll leave with you, and I'll follow you no matter where you go. The king looked up, and there was his first wife, who looked sick from malnutrition. Greatly grieved, the king said, I should have taken better care of you when I had the chance. The truth is, we all have these four wives in our lives. Our fourth wife is our body. No matter how much time and effort we lavish in making it look good, it'll leave us when we die. Our third wife is our possessions, status, and wealth. When we die, it all goes to others. Our second wife is our family and friends. No matter how much they've been there for us, the furthest that they can stay by us is up to the grave. And our first wife is our soul, which we often neglect in pursuit of wealth, power, and pleasures of the ego. However, our soul is the only thing that'll follow us wherever we go, beyond death, beyond the grave. So cultivate, strengthen, and cherish it now. It's the greatest gift that we can offer to the world and the only thing that'll stay with us forever. And the last tool that I'm going to discuss is positive thinking. And this really can encompass everything that we've discussed today. And this is really the backbone of personal development. Wasif Ali Wasif, the great writer and philosopher, and the guru of Qasim Ali Shah said, worry doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from our thoughts. So our thoughts create our realities. It's not our circumstances. We see the world the way that we want to see it. The truth is, our mental barriers, the one we create in our minds, are the hardest to overcome. The imaginary hell that we make for ourselves can become the hardest to get out of. And the proof is everywhere. We all know two people who might have had similar backgrounds. And one has a positive outlook and recognizes the opportunities in life, while the other thinks negatively and only sees challenges. The placebo effect is another great proven example of the power of the mind. We all know people often get cured by taking fake meds when they just believe that they're real and will work. There have even been placebo surgeries that have proved to make people feel better. There's a Sufi term for the mind called Aina Khans, which translates to Palace of Mirrors, which essentially means that our physical truth reflects our mental truth. We are what we think we are. In Islamic scripture, God tells us, I am as my servant thinks I am. So our condition is really what we want it to be. So how do we best get use of this great God-given tool? Well, the late, great Jim Rohn and the inspiration behind Tony Robbins said there are four keys to unlocking the power of your mind. One is changing your beliefs. So many people think they're not destined to be smart or the best at something. It's simply not true. We just need to change our beliefs, and that starts with learning. Which leads us to number two, get the right knowledge. Knowledge can come from true experiences, trustworthy books, and people. And we have to seek that knowledge. Number three, be passionate about learning. Most of us get too lazy to learn how to improve our lives. But once we have a passion to learn, really want to learn, we can have those things we've always wanted, like learning how to interact with family and friends in a healthy way and improving relationships. Number four, discipline yourself through the hard work of study. Nobody said learning is easy. It takes consistent, hard work. But you'll see the benefits fast, and the more you learn, the more you'll improve in all aspects of life. Buddha said, what we are today comes from our thoughts of yesterday, and our present thoughts build our life of tomorrow. Our life is the creation of our mind. In conclusion, over the past 30 episodes, we've gone into detail about many of the best tools and techniques for self-improvement, for self-empowerment. to attain that success and happiness that we want. Today, we went over 5 of the most powerful ones. Number 1, dream and dream big. Number 2, know yourself, self-actualization, and then live your purpose. Number 3, change your daily habits to create your future. Number 4, feed your soul to attain true happiness. And last but not least, positive thinking. Thank you so much for joining us today. I encourage you all to listen to our other episodes. Again, they're available on iTunes and Audioboom. And even though we might not be posting new episodes, we're still very much present online. So please feel free to share your comments and questions with us. The quickest way is to message us on Facebook. I read all messages and I try my best to reply in a timely manner. And all feedback is welcome. It has been my pleasure to host this podcast, and I sincerely hope that you've benefited in some way by listening. It's been our humble effort to spread the message of hope, positivity, and self-empowerment. All praise be to God. With love and prayers of peace for you, I'm Lily Chaudhry. Please take care and take control.